Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, the Way of Truth Ministries. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast. Delighted you have taken the time to tune our way, and we pray that that message that is delivered will be a real blessing to your heart. We're talking about the heart that God can use. The heart that God can use, picking up on last week's broadcast as well as the week before. Talking about the soft heart, the heart that's pliable by our Lord. And I believe it'll be a real help and blessing to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Have a few comments about our recent trip into West Africa. And then get into the Word of God. We'll be looking over, starting with the text in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Father, thank you so much for the privilege. It's ours to present the Word of God. And I pray you'll give us clarity of thought and mind and speech, so as the message goes out, that people will understand and then apply the message to their hearts. I pray you'll receive all the glory. And, Lord, it will be an encouragement to us as thou dost gain the glory and the praise, and then you bring the results. We cannot bring them, but, Lord, you could speak to hearts, souls could be saved, Christians revived, and so we just ask you to bless in every aspect of the program on this side as well as those who are listening, and we'll thank you for what is accomplished because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a delight to be with you, to share with you. We spent about 3 weeks here over in West Africa. Had the privilege of being at the new radio station, and those of you there in Monrovia, you're listening to it, 88.1. And what a delight. Had to have been with Brother Demi and his crew as we shared things with regard to our ministry via radio over that station, as well as the many stations around the world, really, that we're on. We're thankful to each of you who pray for us, those who would give. We certainly appreciate that. And we're just asking the Lord to do a great work. We had the opportunity, being in Liberia, Togo, and Ghana, and had the opportunity of preaching in a number of churches, dedicating a church on Faith Island in Liberia. Interesting place to go to. You walk across a footbridge. It's probably about a foot above the water, and that's a river. And you walk across that, and it's about 150 to 200 yards long, and kind of a little bit eerie when you see the water rushing right underneath you. But that's okay. We got there. We made it over and made it back, and didn't have to swim and didn't have to meet up with any crocodiles or anything like that. But what a privilege to be with those precious people and see what they have done out in that island and the folk that have been saved and have grown. You know, throughout the entire stay, those 3 weeks over there, there were a great number of people saved. The pastors have the tally. They've been following up on them. But I know in one service alone, there was over 70 adults and children that came forward. And I asked the pastor, I said, are you sure they're coming for salvation? He said, yes. And then they made it very plain in the dialect and tongue there. They understand English, but so that they really understand what all was about, they went and talked to them and with regard to the message and the purpose of which they came, and they assented that they were there because they wanted to be saved. I just say praise the Lord and, you know, just disciple them and guide them and direct them, and you that the Lord might use them in the reaching of many people for Christ. We traveled out into the countryside. In fact, in one particular day, well, two different days. One day I taught for 7 hours. Another day I taught for 5 hours. Pastors and Christian leaders. And what a blessing that was. I enjoyed that greatly. I was tired, but I enjoyed it. And then you ride on the roads there, and I'll tell you, pray for our missionaries. I mean, they've got some of the worst roads I've ever seen. And I've been traveling over there for many years. And the roads are just deteriorating. Seems that there's not a whole lot of emphasis put on repairing the roads. One of the interesting things I took notice to, I know the Chinese have been over there doing work in a number of those countries. And when they lay the paving down, they lay it right on top of dirt. I mean, the dirt's there. They might, you know, brush it off, take a grader and plow it off a little bit. But then they lay the asphalt down on that. Well, you know what's going to happen. Get to the rainy season, which will start here in just a couple of weeks, and those roads will be completely shot. And that's exactly where they're at now. Then they don't come back and patch them. So I pray for our nationals that as they got to travel to these places, whether they go on motorcycle, car, walking, these are hazardous roads. And so they need the Lord's protection as they travel. Well, we'll share some specific things later on, but we don't want to take too much time from the message. But just so you can know, we talked about going over there. I want you to know that God abundantly blessed. He really worked, and our grandson went along with me, and he's the 18-year-old one, Jared. And what a tremendous help and blessing he was, and the people really appreciated him. So I thank all of you who had a part in helping him to go along. And I want you to know, God used him in a special way. So let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 2. We'll listen to a song and then get right into the Word of God.
As I go winding my way to glory land, the home of the soul, my life is filled with sorrow where I roam, wherever. But when I enter the gates of glory land, which now is my goal, my Lord will say, my child, you're welcome. Stood for the right, a crown of life you've won. Well done, my child. Well done, my child. You'll save the day. Like Paul of old, you fought a good fight. Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
Well done. I'll meet my friends and my loved ones gone before in heaven's fair clime. Inside the gates, they'll be to welcome me. Praise God, my troubles and cares will then be o'er. In glory sublime, with them I'll live for all eternity. Well done, my child. For the right, a crown of life you've won. Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
You saved the day.
You saved the day.
Like Paul of old, you fought a good fight. Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
And longing for the day when I shall arise and sail away across the oceans, for the oceans far. I'll be so happy to hear my Savior say in sweet paradise, well done, my child. You now are welcome home.
Well done, my child.
Well done, my child. My Lord will say. Stood for the right,
a crown of life you've won.
Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
You saved the day.
You saved the day.
Like Paul of old, you fought a good fight. Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
Well done,
my child.
Like Paul of old, you fought a good fight. Well done, my child.
Well done, my child.
Well, amen. I'll tell you, that's a good song to get us started. It's a song to wake you up if it's morning time where you're listening. But it's You know, it's the message that we want to deliver to you. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians in chapter 2. You're familiar with verses 8 and 9. I'll read them, but verse 10 is where we're going to launch out from. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here's the key verse. For we are his, that's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand that God planned that you and I would produce good works. That was way back in eternity past when they decided, when it was decided by the Council of the Trinity that Christ would die for our sin. God planned that you and I would produce good works upon the fact that we have been saved. Go back with me to chapter 1 for a moment, and I want you to look at verse 4. Now, we're talking about the heart that God can use, the individual that God can use to carry out the work that he has given us to do. In verse 4, verse 3, he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But now think about the good works, and this is what we're coming into in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's what's said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I don't know, how much it takes to really grab a hold of that. That is a powerful lot of information in just a few verses, verses 4 through 6. You see, that we are to be to the praise of his glory, but God predestinated you and I to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be the workmanship in verse 10. Now go back to verse 10 of chapter 2. For we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul presented to this church at Ephesus the standing that these people had. You see, salvation was planned by God before the creation of this world. And the fact that we were already predestined to good works once we were saved, that was all planned by God. Then he works in our lives. He transforms us to be in the image of his Son. He adopts us into the family. And if you study that thought of adoption, he's adopting us as adult sons. We think of adoption, somebody, they may get a baby from the hospital nursery. They may get the baby from a home somewhere. And they adopt that baby, and that baby's a little baby, and then you can adopt teenagers and so forth. But when we adopt a child, they are, whatever age they are, we bring them up, we nurture them from that point on. Now, according to most state laws, and I'm not absolutely positive where it's at right now, it used to be 21, but I believe it's 18 now. When a child reaches 18, they are able then at that point to have the inheritance. If the parents have passed away, now the child is ready to inherit. But what God has done, when he adopted us into his family, that moment of salvation, we became adult sons. In other words, the inheritance that God had for us was ours already. We were seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We were heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ at the very moment of salvation. So on September 6, 1961, when I knew absolutely zero about the Word of God, well, I knew a little bit, but not really understanding the Word of God, I got saved. But I was already at the age, because I was saved, no matter what the chronological years were, I was able to inherit whatever there was for the child of God, which was an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, which was the fact of being seated in the heavenlies, and so many, many other thoughts are things that God has for his own children. I'll just take a good read of John chapter 14, the first six verses, and you'll see. So very simply, he adopts us into his family. He makes us one of his children. We are his workmanship. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. We're talking about how God formed, he conformed Job's heart through the persecution that Job went through, suffering, the agony, and even the words of supposed friends and how they cut into his very soul. But God used those things to make Job more conformed to his image. And then we see how God blessed him in the latter chapters of the book of Job. Well, that's exactly what God will allow happen to us. Now, we may not get everything that Job had, no, but he'll allow things to come into our lives to transform us so that we might be the vessels that he can use, so that we might be that absolute salt of the earth, so that we might be the light to this ungodly world, this world of darkness. You know, that's what the Lord Jesus said, and we're not dealing with that, but you go into the chapter 5 of Matthew. He gives the Beatitudes and says these are the things of his disciples, because he's talking to his disciples there. Then he tells his disciples, you're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are. It's not going to be. Might be. You are. And he goes on and tells them what they will be doing. Well, that's what God does. God works in your life and mine so he can conform us to the image of Christ. And as he does that, he is producing in us a vessel fit for the master's use. Now, we're going to listen to another song, and then we're going to look a little bit more at this, and we'll pick it up next week as well. So listen, and may your heart be challenged and blessed.
Been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no other way to tell you but to say, change them if I could, but through it But the best way that I could say it is this.
Amen. God has been good and is good. I like the phrase that's used a lot here in America now, but when I originally heard it, it was over in Africa. They said, God is good. The answer came back all the time. And then the speaker would say, and all the time, and the people would answer, God is good. And first time I ever heard that was over in Africa many, many years ago. And, you know, that is true. That is very true. Now, we're talking about the heart that God can use, how God wants to work in our lives. And, you know, one of the things that we really need to pay close attention to is how God does that work. I want you to look at a portion of Scripture, and you've seen it many times, Philippians 3:10. And we've talked about it here on the program on numerous occasions. Philippians 3:10, I can quote it to you, but I'm going to read it. And I want you just to take notice how Paul relates this verse to his own life. Now, if you study 2 Corinthians 11, you read about all the things that Paul went through, the trials, the testings, the beatings, the imprisonments, the shipwrecks, and just go on down the list. A tremendous list, and certainly a lesser man would have given up. Somewhere along that line, but Paul could not do that. And here's why he couldn't. This is what he said in Philippians 3:10. Now notice this, that I may know him. So the first thing, he's born again. He loves the Lord. He's redeemed. So when he says that I may know him, he's talking about a personal relationship. Now go back with me to verse 9. And be found in him. Now, Paul's saying this. I want to be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness. In other words, not thinking of myself as anything, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Now, you notice how he wants to know him. That righteousness of Jesus Christ and how it will change his life. That's exactly what he's looking at. You know, we quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we'll reference it again later on in the message here. But he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I know it says creature, but he's a creation. God creates him. He makes him a new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is what Paul is saying to these Philippians, that I may know him. Now notice the power of his resurrection, the power of Christ's resurrection. In other words, he was not bound by the laws of nature. And of course, Paul's not saying that. But what he's saying is he didn't want to be bound by the fear of man. He didn't want to be bound by circumstances. You see, the power of the resurrection in Christ changed everything. He no longer was susceptible to the onslaughts of this world. Yes, his teaching still today brings lots of ire and lots of hatred out. And not because it's bad, but because it reveals man for what he really is. So he wants to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Now, there were several things that are involved in that. One is certainly the fact that he was not now bound by the idea or the actions of man. And he said, in other words, I don't want to be bound by that. That's, you know, when he went over to Jerusalem there in the latter part of the book of Acts, People were saying, don't go. You're going to be put in prison. Don't go. You're going to be persecuted. He said, none of these things move me. And that was basically the power of the resurrection. He said, I'm going because this is where God has ordered that I go. This is how God is working, and this is what he wants to do. And it was from that that Paul ended up in Rome, where he could have a ministry. And he did have a ministry. Yes, he lost his head there, but that was all in God's plan. But the power of the resurrection did not, that gave him the strength not to be deterred, not to shrink under the weight or the problems that he had. And notice he said that I wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. The Bible says that when Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was going to that cross, he opened not his mouth, did not bring a railing accusation against the people who were persecuting him. You know, when you think of Paul being stoned outside of Lystra and yet he gets up, he was left for dead. That meant they went and checked him out. He was dead. But God wasn't through with him, so he wasn't going to allow him to be dead. He raised him up, and he walked right through the city. What do you think happened in the city? We're not told a whole lot. I'll guarantee you some of those dudes that threw the stones looked and said, whoa, wait a minute here. What happened here? And they were trembling in their boots. Well, you see, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to go through what he went through. And so he's willing to suffer the ignominy that Christ faced for the cause of Christ. And he said, then be made conformable to his death. We'll talk about that later. But this is the man that God can use. You and I can fit into that category if we want to. I trust that God will work in your heart. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, would you please call upon him today, because it's the only way you can go to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said in John chapter 6. Our Father, take the word, speak to hearts, save souls, encourage Christians to be yielded unto thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to give you as well, dear friend, the address that you can get us on the website, wot@wotbm.org. That's wot@wotbm.org. God bless you.